I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh, yeah. Things are so good.
Things are so good.
When you accept this role.
I accept your role, baby girl.
When you accept this role.
When you accept my
role. I accept your rose, Lori.
Accept this rose into your world.
Oh my God, that is of course the magical Mark Rivers with Will You Accept This Rose podcast. I highly recommend the video that Anna made for us. If you guys have never seen it, we should put it on our Facebook page. It's on YouTube. If you Google Will You Accept This Rose podcast, you might want to see the video we made for it. My name is Arda Marine. I'm coming to you from New York City, and I am on the phone with the one, the only Paget Brewster's rival, Miss Lori. How are you, Lori?
Hi, I'm good. You know, I haven't seen that video. I guess I have to check it out.
It's pretty good. You know, if you enjoy Anna's flyers that she makes for our podcast, I think you will enjoy the video that she made. It's pretty inspired. There's like a dolphin humping a man. There's a rabbit humping. There's a lot of humping. There's geysers shooting off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's like Mark Spitz with like a lot of like medals on and like a Speedo that says cosmetologist across it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. That was like our promo video when we first began. First of all, I wanted to thank all of our listeners who emailed in. I posted a photo on Instagram I had to film, if you recall last week, I had the world's largest zit. That was the spider zit. And so I posted a photo the next day from the set, and people were commenting that they didn't see my spider zit. I want you guys to know, and this is not even an exaggeration, I've been doing this for a long time. The zit was so large, I'm not even exaggerating, they had to bring in a professional firefighter who had been working the night before. So our on-set medic in Atlanta for our show is a firefighter. He'd worked in the firehouse all night, and it was so large, they had to bring the firefighter to the makeup trailer to basically put a ladder on my zit and climb to the top of the zit. And then they put, like, you know how it's very rare that people actually get stitches anymore? They use, like, the liquid bandage. He had to, like, seal this fucker, like, so they could actually, because it was not only gigantic, it was, like, starting to like crack at the seams. So they couldn't even call. It was so oily. It wouldn't hold powder or makeup. And they had to bring in a firefighter to put like liquid bandage on this. People are still talking about the zit on the set. And they had to like, so I had to have curlers in my hair and then put bangs down. So that was a first. That was a first for me.
Was this firefighter in the, his or her full regalia, like with the helmet on and outfit?
I wish he was covered in soot and had like a kitten that he just rescued from a tree. But I wish he like found a cat on top of my zit that had climbed up there but was too frightened to get down. There were so many spiders in there making it so high up that it was too frightened to get down.
Wow.
I know. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
It's really unprecedented. It's really unprecedented. I also want everybody to know that I'm in the works. I'm trying to stalk. We have a verbal yes from our favorite Russian, Alex, the wearer of the sassy summer suit. He says he'll go to San Francisco, but we're trying. We have like a professional booker trying to stalk down Peter for us for our January gig.
Nice.
I know, right?
Nice. Well, you know, I just saw something that Peter was asked by Dean.
Yeah, talk to me.
Whether he would go to Outside Lands, and he said he's not a festival type of person because he's, I guess, a homebody.
Wait, so that's good that Dean asked him, because that means Dean was even remembering that he was at Outside Lands with us.
Guess so.
From Dean's weekend, I was afraid he'd ingested so many things that he wouldn't even remember that he attended Outside Lands.
I think our connection is going to be Dean, so you got to work your magic.
Fuck. Okay, I'm going to text Dean. I'm going to text Dean. The fact that I can even say that phrase, no, Dean may never respond, but the fact that I even have fucking Dean's number is the greatest gift that this podcast has given me. And there's been a lot of good gifts, but that to me, before we continue, can we just talk about, and I know everybody got mad at Dean this summer. Can we just remind everybody how handsome his face is?
He is pretty handsome, and he just got a new tattoo, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Does it say Arden and Dean, true love forever?
Pretty much. And it's, you're a dolphin, and you're humping Dean's leg.
It's a dolphin with my face and my zit.
And a zit.
It's a zit.
Actually, yeah.
It's a thruple.
It has that little hole at the top, right? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, that's. But mine was. And that's my zit. We're a thruple. We're a three-person couple. Dolphin, me, Dean, and my zit.
Nice.
What did he get a tattoo of?
A butterfly.
Are you kidding? That's embarrassing.
Apparently it's for a childhood friend who died or something.
All right, I take it back. That's beautiful.
This is ridiculous.
Oh my god, no, I can believe it, and it's not ridiculous. All right, let's also discuss. Anna texted me this week a video of a promo that ABC released. If you look, I guess I say, who knows what we actually post on. I say we're going to do it as if we have a whole staff of people who are going to do it. I guess if it's not me, it's not going to happen. If I get my shit together, I'll post the YouTube video. And if I get my shit together, I will post. So ABC posted this video of Ari. It's so embarrassing. And it's like trick or treat. But it's like trick or me, like I'm such a fucking treat. And then it has him in like this stupid like 50 Shades of Ari mask. He's wearing like a cat burglar, which is the least foxy thing.
That was so weird. What's the name of that? What was that film with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman?
Oh yeah. I know what you mean. The Stanley Kubrick movie, Eyes Wide Shut.
Exactly.
I was really embarrassed by this promo video. He's making it hard for me to be excited about him because it's so stupid.
Well, you just have to remember how adorable he was on Emily Maynard season.
Okay.
I'm an optimist, and I absolutely believe he's going to be a tremendous bachelor because he was so adorable on Emily's season.
All right.
He has a personality.
Yeah.
He's going to be good.
Okay, so here we go.
He's filming his hometown dates as we speak.
Oh my god, you know everything. Do you know, can you tell us one secret about one of the girls?
Let's see. Are there any good ones? You know, not really, to be honest with you.
I feel like you're lying to me, but I appreciate it. I know when you're lying, and I feel like you're lying. And you know what? I know that you're lying for my own good, so I can't be mad at you because I feel like you're sparing. Because it's almost like I'm like, Santa, let me just peek under the gift wrap. Let me just see if that's the Barbie dream house that I want. And you know that if I do that, when Christmas comes, I'm going to be bummed, like, if you did give me the Barbie dream house. So it's like better just to save it.
It's for your own good.
Thank you so much. All right, here we are. We're only doing one episode this week because I feel like I fully have Alzheimer's. And when I watch all of them, I watched part of this earlier in the week and I had to rewatch it last night. Because during the season, usually we watch it and then we record the next day. And like, I watched it and then I had no memory, literally as if I'd never watched it before.
I know. It was really good. But before we begin, I want to hear your thoughts about Ben Higgins doing stand-up.
Oh, my God. So, Nikki Glaser, our very good friend, really wants to get into the Bone Zone with Ben Higgins. She's a stand-up, and me and Fortune and Aaron Foley are all stand-ups. He's the least funny human I have ever... He's not funny. He's handsome. He's tall. He's earnest. He has scripture tattoos on his rib cage. None of those point to, you know what I should try? Look, I'm not saying to myself, I should be a firefighter. I know where my strength lay, and it's in being an idiot and growing spiders that's on my forehead. I know where my lane of the highway is.
Right.
It's embarrassing. Nikki wants to bone him. If a guy wants to be a stand-up and he's bad at stand-up, that's a lady boner killer right there.
Well, he's in luck, because guess what? He doesn't want to be a stand-up comedian, because he was actually asked to host a show called First Look. I guess it was on NBC. And that the episode was to put people outside of their comfort zone.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
In order to be a better, well-rounded person. So
thank
he
God.
Actually doesn't want to be
thank
a stand-up.
God.
So Nikki is in the clear.
Thank God. She can still get into the Bone Zone. Well, if we can't get Peter and Dean, maybe we'll try to get our paws on Ben Higgins and bring Nikki up so Nikki can bone Ben.
He's cute. He seems really sweet. I like him.
Apparently, he's hot in person. I find him so vanilla. He's so vanilla.
He's pretty vanilla. It's true.
Okay. Okay. He's no Dean. And he's no Alex. Okay, here we go. Here we go. And now that Wells has a girlfriend, he's dead to me. Do we know who it is? Who is it?
I actually don't know who it is.
Mm. Do you still listen to his podcast?
I think I probably have listened to a most recent podcast. Yep.
Are your children aware of this?
My children have no idea.
Okay, that's good. Keep it like that. Keep them in the dark. Okay, here we go. So we're in Prague, and with Emily Maynard, we're back in time. It's 2012. Land of bootcut jeans. Land of blackberries. So Emily Maynard, the single mom with the heart of gold, the new teeth, but she's a good bachelorette. She says she's about to go. She has 3 one-on-ones and 1 group date in Prague. We're getting next week is hometown visits. So Ari has the first one-on-one up, and he says to the camera that he has fallen in love with Emily. Nobody's dropped the L-bomb yet. He's the first one to say, I've fallen in love with her.
Yeah, he's smitten.
He's smitten.
He's completely smitten.
So he shows up, and he looks really cute until he turns around, and he is wearing a blazer with the weirdest elbow patches. Like, I like a good old-school professor blazer. This is a 2012. This is a fashion choice of the weirdest elbow patches on the blazer. And she says, I like to kiss Ari. I think I show him that by kissing him a lot. Oh, I think okay. I think I show that a lot by kissing him a lot.
Yeah. Well, seriously, they're attached to the lips. My God.
Yeah. She definitely has chemistry. And if you hear any sounds in the background, it's because I'm with my mom, Janet Marine, and she's in the next room, and she's ready. She wants to get into the Bone Zone with the Gronk or Tom Brady so badly, and the Patriots are playing in the next room. Just saying. I know.
I'm not feeling that.
Trust me, a lot of people aren't. A lot of people aren't. I know. It's not a popular. I understand so many levels. Besides Deflategate, there's other things happening, and I hear you. Okay, so, hold on. I'm going to pause it just for 1 second. I don't want to be the. I'm going to just see if she can turn it though. Right here. Hold hard. You know what? I'm just going to do it right now. Let me see. Do you mind turning it down one hair? Just one hair. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Lori.
Do you think Ari is cute, Mom?
I think Ari's very cute. I mean, let me just mute this. Yes, I think Ari is a keeper for sure.
Yeah, he's cute.
He's very cute. I hope he has some personality to go along with it.
He seems like he has personality.
Oh, he's got lots of personality.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to this season. When's the starting date?
Not until January.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
And you loved Dean, didn't you?
I did love Dean. I still love Dean. Dean is the top of the list. He's young, but he's the top of the heap.
You don't care that he was in a love triangle. He's young and free.
He wanted to be free. He was never looking to give anybody a ring.
How's your new relationship with Steve Heitner treating you?
Well, I haven't talked to Steve since I sent him a little gift.
She sent him a bottle of wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, a special bottle of wine that his eyes lit up when he was at the house. And
Steve likes wine.
Yeah, I said, Steve, you know, because I don't drink. I said, go and help yourself to anything in the bar. And he comes out with this bottle of Lafite Rothschild 1967.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God!
Yeah,
so we mailed it to him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the cork is rotten and the bottle is rotten too. But
just like our hearts.
Yeah, just like that.
All right. Yeah. All right, Mama Bear. All right, and how's Mittens? Oh, I'm looking at Mittens right now. Hi, Mittens.
Mittens is in the city for the first time.
Mittens, do you like the city? Do you like Ari as a new bachelor, Mittens? Oh God, that's a cute cat. Okay, so we're back. Okay, so. She goes on a date with Ari, and they go to, she says that there's a secret that she knows about Ari, that he's been hiding, and that she basically, and they do this on camera, and you told us up front, he dated one of the producers, and she finds it out, like, it's basically her number one main producer, and she finds out that they dated back in the day, and she's pissed. She feels deceived. Chris Harrison has to stand in front of the mansion in Malibu and say, you know, like disclose that he dated the producer. And so they go on this date and they have to rub the statue of the dog that talks about like loyalty and honesty. And she keeps trying to get out of him. Like, do you have any secrets? Do you have any secrets? And then it happens off camera. We don't see her confront him. Like, it's weird that they didn't air the confrontation. What was
that? Yeah, I call bullshit. Why would they not film it?
That's weird.
Right?
They filmed,
it doesn't make any sense.
They filmed her being aggro at the producer. Why wouldn't they film the interaction with she and Ari? It doesn't add up.
Yeah, something's really strange. But apparently... she was actually pissed at production because they kept it from her, and Ari was told never to bring it up because they had already told her or something like that. And it was 9 years prior to this filming.
And it sounds like maybe they, like, went on 4 dates or, like, got at it once or whatever.
Yeah.
So then they come back and they go, like, on this, like, gondola ride, and like we don't see, but somehow ever, like the first part of the date she's all sassy, the second part all they do is tongue kiss in a boat, and he says, I am in love with you. Earlier I thought I was falling in love with you, but somewhere between London and here I'm in love with you. And she said, I wanted to hear it, but it's really scary, but I like it, but it's really scary.
Yeah. And it changes everything. I mean, he, since the very first episode, he is quite the front runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. He's always been down with Ari.
He's sort of like a good version of Brian who won. Like, he actually is friends with the guys. Like how Brian didn't bond with the guys. He's sort of a good version of Brian, I think.
Yeah. And he is... still, well, with the exception of Jeff, really good friends with both John Wolfner and Sean Lowe to this day.
Interesting. So, so then their date's over. Then there's a group date, and it's Sean Lowe, Chris, the villain, the guy who looks like a Disney villain, who's a nice guy who becomes addicted to reality TV over the next few years, and Doug, the single dad who's the secret hothead that seems too good to be true and has no chemistry with Emily, and they ride up on horses. They have to go like on a horse-drawn carriage, and they go up to a castle from the 13th century. And Doug toasts to her being a great hostess. And so she pulls him off to go one-on-one up in a turret. And their body language is, like, he's so weird with her. And he freaks out because their knees are touching. And she's like, Doug, our knees are just touching. Like, it's so weird. He doesn't go in for a move. And then, eventually, she's trying to basically send him home. She's like, you haven't tried anything. And then he plants a really awkward kiss on her, and it's so uncomfortable.
Oh, I know. And she says, thank you, right away. And then he, you know, recoils and says, yep. Oh, I felt so embarrassed for him.
Oh, my
God. You know, he's so damaged.
He's so damaged. That's the thing.
I really feel a lot of empathy for him.
I did, too. My mom and I were watching it. She was like, he has no game. I was like, well, he was a foster kid.
You're cutting out for some reason.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm going to pause it. I'm going to call you back. I'll call you back. Action. We're back. And so we're Doug with the awkward... I know, my mom was watching him. She was like, oh, he has no game. And then I was like, well, he had this horrible foster. He was like this... He had this horrible story. But it was awkward. And then when she cut him, he goes... Have a good one. It was so awful. And then he's weeping in the back of the car. It was awful.
I know. I felt kind of bad for him.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. He does seem sweet and damaged, but he still shot a gun and was arrested.
He still attacked his lady and took a gun and shot it into the ground, which is kind of a deal breaker.
But you know me, I think the best of everyone, so he seems sweet.
He seems sweet, minus the assault charge and the waving the gun around and then shooting the gun into the ground. I want to know how far a bullet goes into the ground. If you take a gun and you shoot it straight into the ground, does it ricochet up or does it just go right down into the ground?
I do not know the answer to that question.
If somebody knows the answer, please email in rosepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, so then two people are left on the group date. We have Chris, the Disney villain, and Sean Lowe, the re-virginized blonde man that he's everything good on paper, but she pats him on the back when she makes out with him.
Did you notice that? You pointed it out, and you were right. He rubs his back. That's not a romantic rub.
No, it's a, you're a good guy. I'm going to fix you up with my sister.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Hey, you. Hey, friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but she still kisses him, so there's that.
She wants to, I think she's not grossed out by him. I think she likes kissing him, but her chemicals aren't all jangled. She's not like ding 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 ding.
it's true, you know. And they are probably the a perfect match.
Yeah,
like he seems like her type.
Yeah,
and she seems like his type. But yet she's going for sort of the cosmopolitan Ari, and then the little skate boy and Jeff.
It just
so
goes
it's really
to,
interesting.
It honestly every it's a fascinating thing. Now that I've been watching for a few seasons, no one picks the sure thing. Like Raven loved Nick; it was uncomplicated. She would have been there. No one picks the steady Eddie that's all in and available. Like no one picks. You know, even like, what's his name? Ben Higgins. Like, JoJo was all in. And in his mind, Lauren was the girl that he could have gotten, but like, that was out of his reach. Like, people, if you are too in and available, it seems like you never win.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Human nature is a little fucked up and a little self-hating and wants to chase. We are attracted to a chase. You do not want to be. The sure thing is never the winner. Ever. Not yeah. ever.
Yeah. And Sean could not be more of a sure thing.
He's such a sure thing.
Yeah.
He's the leader of the household.
He is the leader, but when he proposes, he follows through.
You know what? Is he the only bachelor that actually got married to his lady?
Yep.
All right. Well, you know what?
His final choice.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm enjoying watching this. It doesn't thrill me as much because I know that in the end she didn't marry her choice. It is, I have to go in with the blind hope that each person is going to actually marry their per, like, it's the only way I can watch it. Otherwise, like, if I knew she married him, it would be more fun for me to watch.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. And it's true. There is sort of that romantic part of it that's such a draw. And I think that's why people like Sean as a bachelor.
Right.
Even though I guess we gave it away before. It's because you know that this guy is going to follow through.
He did, yeah.
And he did.
And I want to say that it also shows me watching this where I accidentally found out who wins. I for sure don't ever want to read. I don't like knowing the ending. I like the surprise of who it's going to be. For me, it's the game of it. It's the thrill. It's like mystery of it. So, okay. So there's two keys. There's one large skirt, and they open the room for who gets the first chit chat one on one. There's a big skeleton key and a little skeleton key. Sean Lowe got the huge key, and Chris, the insecure Disney villain, got the smaller key. And Sean Lowe's key opens first, and Chris is just freaking. He is so insecure. He is just completely sabotaging himself. His brain is, he is fucking spinning out. You can see the makings of the guy who is not, who's a little mentally unstable, who is not handling the franchise well, who is taking it personally, who might have a drinking problem. Like there's a little nice guy who's got some cracks in the pavement there.
Yeah, and why in the world would he begin his conversation with her?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. Wait, we haven't gotten there yet. So the first one up is Sean, and they are downstairs, and he is like, "I'm ready." And they tongue kiss, and this was probably their best kiss yet because she didn't pat him. They even did the sexy wall kiss, like in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And you know. That's, yeah. So I guess they have some sexy times. He's upstairs freaking out. And then he gets his one-on-one. Chris gets his one-on-one. And I'm going to turn it back to you, Lori. Go.
Well, I just think it's strange that Chris, when he's been complaining about not seeing her, he decides that his very first conversation, very first point will be about how upset he was that she didn't pick him for the one-on-one.
He's such a ding-dong that if he you can see he actually believes, first of all, he believes it's her handwriting on the cards and like she has any say in who gets, like, it's like, bro, don't you know how produced this is? Like, he goes, "I'm angry with you." He was mad that his name was last on the group date card, that it wasn't first on the group date. It's like, you're an idiot, man.
Yeah, he's so foolish. So, remind me, was he upset that John Wolfner got the one-on-one prior to this date, or that Jeff got the one-on-one?
He was just upset that he hadn't gotten one since Charlotte. So, I think just that anybody, that he didn't get one, was just like,
gotcha. Okay.
How dare okay. you? Did Jeff already have his date on this episode and I didn't even write it down?
No, John Wolfner had his date. But we should go back to that because he said a funny thing.
Okay, let's do that one. I think it was so boring I didn't even write it down.
It was so boring. It was absolutely boring.
Yeah, they go on a date and they have to like paint a mural and then they have to put a lock. They have to like lock sweethearts, lock their wishes on this bridge and like he can't get the lock locked. And she's like, "That's not a good sign."
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, we haven't talked about this guy at all. I mean, the only reason why he's notable is because he's good friends with Ari, and Ari outed John Wolfner, who is now married. He outed John Wolfner and his wife as saying that they were pregnant with a child, and so Wolfner was like, "Oh, well, I guess I'm gonna have to tell people we're pregnant now." But he's rocking the half zip dad fleece, I think is not necessarily a good look, but no. Better than the basketball short and the black anklets that he rocked in every other scene. But what I loved most about this incredibly boring date was one, that they had dinner in a dungeon.
Yeah.
So I like the sadomasochism theme.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was waiting for Chris Harrison to pop out dressed as a dominatrix, but whatever. But my favorite part was that when John talks about his ex cheating on him.
Yeah.
And that he was waiting up that the whole night, which was a really sad and tragic story, but that he said that he called hospitals and prisons. And I love how he automatically threw his girlfriend not in a drunk tank, but in a prison. Like, I would not be calling a prison if my wife happened to stay out late one night.
I know.
You know, maybe I call a hospital, that, but all of a sudden she's in prison, which I thought
He was saying he's just only started dating ladies that he doesn't have to fix up, like that are not fixer-uppers. So when I hear somebody that only dates fixer-uppers and he called hospitals and prisons, I was like, oh, you're chasing like a drug addict. Like, you have low self-esteem. You are chasing a girl that clearly is not available at this moment of time for you. Like, somebody needs to go to Al-Anon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, And he is. We only mentioned him because he was the one that actually played the grandma, like literally played the death card by showing the death cards. It is. There's every season. There's guys that think that they're close. They've become. It's usually men. It's usually when it's the Bachelorette and not the Bachelor. Guys mistake intimacy with when they've told you just terrible things about themselves. Then they're like, "We're close now," and it's like, that's not sexy. You know what I mean? It's like a pity. You don't want a pity rose.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he's going for the long game. He's just trying to get a rose.
Yeah.
Possibly can do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was an incredibly boring date, but, you know, when they came back, I thought it was a pretty bold move of Sean to chase after Emily in the streets of Prague, which, of course, was producer-driven, but
yeah.
That's when she vigorously rubbed him on the back. Anyway, okay, that's all we got. All we got with Wolfner.
So then Jeff has his one-on-one, and they go right to this marionette store, and there's a Michael Jackson marionette that they attempt to make it look like Jeff is operating, that is doing a full moonwalk and, like, doing the robot, and they're editing it as if Jeff's secret talent is that he's a professional puppeteer.
He's no Wells.
He's no Wells. What do you think this is, Wells?
Yeah. No, not at all. How cute is frickin' Jeff?
Oh, my God. He really – I'm confused about Jeff because he's so fucking cute. Why did the producers –
He's so cute.
He is so cute and cool. And so they buy these puppets. They buy a Jeff puppet that doesn't look anything like Jeff, but what it looks like, the puppet from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that, like, lived in the tree, like the print, the king and the queen. So they buy that, and then they buy the princess puppet, and then he's like, "Wait a minute, wait out in the street for a second." Then he runs back in and he buys a little doll puppet. He goes, "We can't leave your daughter Ricky inside." So the three puppets, and they go to this beautiful library, and they do the world's worst but sweetest improv. It's truly the worst improvising you've ever seen, and yet it's very sweet. It's like two dummies with their puppets who can only express feelings for one another through puppetry. And he says to her, I'm so 100. You look so beautiful as a puppet. Like, you look so 100% beautiful today. And I can't. I'm falling. I've fallen so head over heels in love with you. And I can't wait to marry you. Like, he's really sticking his landing as a puppeteer.
Oh my God! I mean, how freaking cute was that? So first of all, Jeff is like, this is gonna date me, but he's like Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
He's young and pretty, like Dean. But
yeah,
better. And you know how much I like Dean.
I know.
So, you know, this is the episode where the first part you're saying that Ari and Emily are engaged, no doubt about it. But then by the second part of the episode, Jeff pulls his little dark horse moves and he gets Ricky a doll. And that whole conversation with the marionettes was adorable. Did you catch that part where he says, you know, the marionette, sorry, says, I love your nail polish. And quick as a whip, Emily says, thanks, I'm never going to change it.
Oh my God, I loved
the
that.
The whole thing was so cute. So,
it was
and
so
and the
cute.
Conversation in the library, which
oh my
we'll
God.
Get to, was adorable as well.
So they lie down on the floor in this library, which was so beautiful. And she asks about the hometown visits. And basically he's like, they're going to love you. And he was like, well, my parents aren't there. They have a commitment. Are they on some super Mormon mission? What's happening?
Yeah, they were on a Mormon mission. Yes,
And so like his sisters, and basically some girl has met his family before and his family didn't like them. And she's like, so what did you do? And he was like, well, I broke up with them. And she was like, if they don't like me, would you break up with me? And he was like, yeah. And then she got nervous. And then as they're kissing in the end, he says, I want to date you so hard and marry the fuck out of you, which was so cute.
Yeah, bold move, especially because, you know, she's a good Bible-loving gal, but she really
ate it up,
and it was adorable.
It was so cute because you also see cool boy hipster, edgy weirdo, and Cinderella, and Southern Belle, homecoming queen, that these two would not have dated in high school. It's like a John Hughes movie, these two.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. So cute.
Yeah. It absolutely adorable.
It's so cute. And I like that this guy's winning. He's little. He's not roidy. He's kind of nerdy. He's adorable.
Yeah. The top contestants on this season, I think that they were among the best ever.
It's really good.
You didn't have too many roidy guys at the end. And even Sean.
No, he's a nice guy.
He's thoughtful and, you know, he's a little boring, but he's pretty substantive.
Yeah, he's cute. So then they go to the cocktail party. It's time for the cocktail party. And Chris is freaking out. He was like, he's been freaking out. He's been spinning out. He knew he was a douche at the group date. And, I mean, this is a guy. And now that I know he did, like, have a nervous breakdown chasing the dragon of reality TV, you can see this. There's mental fractures. So he's freaking out. There's nothing cool about him. And Chris Harrison comes in and announces they have this weird where she has like a pre-chat with Chris Harrison, which they don't do anymore. And she's like, my mind's made up. I don't need a cocktail party. Let's do this. So Chris comes in and Chris Harrison's like, guys, there's not going to be a cocktail party. Emily's made up her mind. And so she starts going through and she's handing out the roses and she gives one to Ari and she gives one to Sean Lowe. And he's already gotten one on the group date and she gives one to Jeff. And it's down to Wolfner and the Disney villain who's freaking out. And the Disney villain is like, Emily, can I interrupt? I need to talk to you. And so he pulls her aside and everybody's making eye contact like, what the fuck, bro? And so he apologizes. He's like, I know I blew it yesterday. That's not me. It's not me. It's not the man that you and Ricky need. I want to show you that I'm a man and blah, blah, blah. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, he was. Did you see how much he was shaking when it got down to that final rose?
Oh, God.
Was literally shaking in his boots.
And he was so pissed We forgot to say that on the group date, she had to give out a rose. So it's down to, she'd already sent Doug home. So it's down to Sean and this dude and Chris. And she gives the rose to Sean and he loses his shit. And so then he basically says, if I don't get a hometown rose, I don't want to be somebody that's near. I don't want to have to deal with me because I'm going to be a nightmare, which is not a good sign. It's like, dude, you got to be able to roll a little better. So then she comes back and it's the final two and Wolfner's feeling confident. He feels good. He's bonded over his prison phone calls and his dead grandparents. He thinks he has it in the bag. And she gives the rose to Disney villain.
Chris.
It worked. He's more handsome, sort of. He's taller. And Wolfner.
And Wolfner's David Byrne suit didn't suit him well.
For those of you out there who are young and are the Ashley Eyes of the world, David Byrne is the lead singer of Talking Heads and the famous suit that he wore on the album cover, which is Wells' favorite album. And Ashley I didn't know what he was talking about. If you look it up, he wore a giant suit. It's a very oversized suit. It's not a great look in tailoring for a man.
Not so great.
And,
but
yeah.
Wolfner's gone.
And so Wolfner's gone. He took it like a man rather than like, he didn't go off into the night going, what the fuck? Why did Chris pull her aside? He said, I hope I find my Cinderella. And now we know he does because Ari blows it that he's having a baby. So that's good. He found love. And so they're, I always love the after the show moments. They play hide and seek and it's Doug and Chris. No, wait, who is it? Doug and Chris and Sean. She hides in a tower. Chris and Sean go looking for her, and then they show Doug, like a freak show, still counting in the turret as she's hiding up to, like, 380. Like, 301, 302. Doug.
Yeah, the poor producers, they're just scripting this thing.
Doug might still be in that turret counting right now. Well, Lori, thank you so much for breaking down another episode. We got some nice emails, and we also got some nice likes on Facebook, and we got some nice likes on iTunes. We appreciate all the likes on Facebook and iTunes. I hope you guys are enjoying our off-season work of trying to figure out who the heck this new Bachelor is before we go in. What I'm finding so far, even though he has the world's worst promo video, I have to say, in his season, I've been enjoying him. He's cute. He is cute.
He's super cute.
Yeah, he's cute. So here we go. We got some really cute emails. Let's see. I'm going to read some. Let me see when they came in. Let me just make sure I'm reading ones that I didn't read left from last week. Okay, today is the 29th. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. So we got some. I'm going to read some cute emails. This is from Nicole Meyer. Writes, hi Arden and the gang. Firstly, I want to let you know how happy I was to discover your bonus podcast episodes recapping Emily's season of The Bachelorette. The day of the week, I get to listen to the podcast while I'm driving to work on the best commute days by a huge margin. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. And she would go to a live show in San Francisco. No preference on which contestant. So that's good. Nicole, we look forward to hearing you. Christy Bonnet writes, hi Arden and gang. I love that you encourage your listeners to adopt and support local animal shelters. I wanted to share with you all that my husband and I just adopted the sweetest, slobberiously wiggle butt pup named Ripley. We adopted her from the Ventura County Humane Society and couldn't be happier with her. So it is so cute. This dog is in a pumpkin patch and could not be cuter. So congratulations to Christy. And we find out, because I'm working with Alyssa Milano, who does a lot of adoption work, and apparently we find out that bunnies are the most dropped off. People get bunnies for like Easter and think it's fun, and then they just like ditch their bunnies. So if anybody's inclined to adopt a bunny, a lot of bunnies need homes because people just get them for the novelty and then don't want to deal with the poor bunnies.
Aww.
And then we got a really cute email from Hallie Burbage. Hi, Arden. I was so excited to hear you read my letter on the second episode. I appreciate that you mentioned many of the organizations helping with animal rescue for the Napa Santa Rosa fires, and wanted to let you know that I volunteer with a really special organization called Cat Town in Oakland. Cat Town started as a foster organization working with our municipal animal shelter. to reduce the euthanasia rates. And Cat Town focuses on getting the most vulnerable cats out of the shelter, those that are sick, older, or shut down due to fear, and works to socialize them in a safe environment so they can be adopted. So Cat Town sounds so awesome. If anybody's in the Oakland area, please go to Cat Town and check out what they're doing. And then I want to just read one of the nice reviews we got on iTunes, which we sure appreciate. On iTunes, we got this review. And thank you all for listening to these bonus episodes. We really appreciate you. And Lori, you've been a real hit, I have to say. We've gotten so many good Facebook tweets and Twitter things. October 24th. This is from the Mold Standard, 5 stars. This podcast essential for living a balanced life. Oh, my God. It's so true. We also have 5 stars. Seriously, the best ever. Lacey Jo Greer. I love listening to this podcast. Finally, people who understand and get what it is. The Bachelor franchise. And Lori, you can be found on Twitter at Lori, L-O-R-I. Wait, is it at...
No, it's at batch underscore
Lori.
Lori, L-O-R-I. Yeah.
Great. Well, guys, this, what a joy it's been. Lori, thank you for your commitment to going through this with us.
Hey, I mean, we should do another season because you haven't even seen Jason Mesnick's season.
I haven't seen Juan Pablo. I also want, which is the one that had the Badlands? Everyone talks about the Badlands episode where they both got left. Like the lady who maybe murdered her fiance got left in the Badlands. That's everyone's favorite episode.
Wait, I don't remember. Wait, say it again.
You know how when they do the double episodes and the double date, and so like one person gets left, and so it was like Olivia by the blowhole or Chad in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
That the Badlands, they both got left, and it was like the lady who may have murdered her fiance got left. I can't remember.
It's not coming to me.
Dude, well, we'll have to look it up. Lori, thank you. We will be back next Monday with another episode where we'll be breaking down either 108 or 108 or 109. Who knows? Anything's possible. And Lori, do you have anything you want to say before we close out?
Yes, it came to me. The Ashley I. Crystal season. Badlands. Anyway, nothing else to close out. Happy Halloween to you.
Oh, my God. Happy Halloween to you. Happy Halloween to you. And yeah. Will you help us sing it out? And we'll be back next week breaking down who the fuck is the new Bachelor, Ari. How do you say his last name?
Leyendyke, I think.
Leyendyke?
That's why it resonates with me.
Wait a minute. Leyendyke?
I think so.
Wow.
That's my Twitter handle name is Lori Leyendyke.
Wait a minute.
Spelled appropriately.
Didn't know that's why it was Leyendyke. Wait a minute. Like lion, like I am a lion and I like the ladies. Is that literally how you say his last name?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's Leyendyke.
That's tough. Wow, there's a lady in my hometown named Pussy Driver, and I think that Leyendyke might be worse. All right, here we go. Will you sing us out, Lori?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's going to feel so good. Here we go. Oh, my God.
When you accept this rose.
I accept your rose, baby girl.
Would you accept this rose into your world?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Would you accept this rose into your world?
Wow. Boy, are we elegant.
Alrighty then.
Wow then. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.